Good evening and welcome to tonight's broadcast of Sunday Night Live from Cornerstone Church in Wheeler, Texas, along the Kingdom Keys network of stations. Beginning in 1986, this program has been an outreach to the community with compelling Christian talk, Bible study, guests, and callers. And in the last days, we are here to remind you that God is on the move in your life and in your local community.
Anytime the gospel stirs a searching soul, and someone says, send me, here I go. I know. God is on the move today.
Your host for the program is Natalie Thomas. Join us now for tonight's broadcast of Sunday Night Live.
Good evening, everybody. Thank you for tuning back into another Sunday Night Live. It's going to be a good one tonight. I'm really excited because we have Pastor Marlon in the house. Pastor Marlon.
He's in the house.
That's right, in the house. pastor of Victory Family Church and also author of Hey, Ref, You Stink.
Bring that out.
I know, because you know I love that title. I mean, I'm like, hey, you're that ref that stinks. No, I'm just teasing.
Correct. Yeah, I tell people I've never met one that didn't. Some just stink worse than others.
There's always going to be a bad call from one of the refs. Let's just be for real, because
that would
we're
be
real
correct.
People.
Absolutely,
and we make mistakes. That's right.
It happens.
Well, I'm going to remind our listeners that Victory Family Church is actually in Perryton, which most of our listeners know there was a tornado that came through Perryton a couple of weeks ago. And so I kind of talked about you a couple of weeks. I don't know if your ears were burning or not, Pastor Marlon, but yeah. So I was like, well, maybe I can talk him into coming on the radio and just sharing a little bit about what God is doing over in Perryton, because I know where the enemy steps in and tries to destroy, God can come in and turn it around and turn that ashes to beauty. And so I know there's going to be some of the stuff you're going to be sharing with me, because I haven't talked to you about it, but I just know that's true. So first of all, how are you doing? Before we get into the meat of the things, how are you doing, Pastor Marlon? Yeah.
Well, I am personally great. We were on the exact opposite end. The tornado happened on the north end of town, and our church is located on the extreme south end. So we were fortunate to not be in the target line of that. My house was about quarter mile from it, so missed there too. So fortunately, everything personally is great. Can't say that much for others, but we were fortunate enough to be out of the path.
Yes. And so we actually had Dr. Sharp on last week, and he didn't know a whole lot, but he did say that there was quite a bit of damage there in Perryton.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, latest report is we had three deaths associated with the tornado, and we had now over 400 homes either severely damaged or totally destroyed, and between 80 and 90 businesses that were severely damaged or totally destroyed. So, yeah, that's pretty substantial hit. Our downtown business district just got the brunt, and it's just in shambles. And just doesn't look like the same place. And there, I drove by there today, and they're bulldozing and hauling off debris now from the buildings that were completely demolished. And it will, if they do rebuild there, it will be a complete brand new downtown business district. From 100-year-old buildings or more that were demolished. It's just a sad sad scene every time you drive down through there when you're used to seeing it that way for so many years. And it's all going to be pretty much different, but it's pretty tough.
Yeah, and that's what I was going to ask you. A lot of these smaller towns like this, their downtown is historic and have been around for years. And so that's what I was going to ask you is, but we're talking over 100 years old.
Right, which was really unfortunate for some of the businesses because of the age of the buildings. It was nearly completely impossible to get insurance on them. And it just simply could not afford, most of them could not afford the high rate of insurance on them and would have to do a lot of things that they could not afford to bring them up to current snuff. And so we're dealing with a lot of uninsured downtown businesses that it's going to be pretty tough for them to rebuild. So we've been walking that out and finding that out over the last few weeks on the radio and different reports, which is very, very sad as well. And of course, most of unfortunately it hit numerous trailer parks. Seems like those things are a magnet for tornadoes, but it blew numerous tornado parks completely away, and those were pretty much uninsured, unless most of them rentals, and it took those out, and most of that uninsured. So it's going to be a pretty much a long recovery, and I'm still not sure about the relocation of the people, the lost homes, and all the 400 or so homes that were lost, even where those people are or where they're staying, and we try to keep up with the current details of where everybody may be locating or relocating, and it's just almost impossible to do that. It's pretty tough. Yeah, I don't know where. I truly don't know where they're at. Yeah.
Right. So initially, when this came through, wasn't it like early afternoon, around 4 or 5 o'clock?
Yeah, around 5 o'clock. When it is. So most of the downtown businesses were still open. Some of them. Just about, I think they said like 5:20 is when the actual main impact occurred, and many of the downtown businesses were still open. We have numerous church members that were working, either owning or working in those buildings, and were right in the heart of it, and have miraculous, unbelievable stories about their protection and how everything around them disappeared and they just stood there in the midst of it all untouched. And it's pretty crazy stuff, but man, like you said, it could have been a worse time. It could have been a little bit earlier and probably been worse, but for the most part, it was a pretty, pretty bad time to hit right at the end of the closing of the business day. So
yeah,
good.
And so, I don't know if you are at liberty to share, maybe without maybe using names, but could you give us any instances where God showed up and, you know, those stories where God moved on their behalf?
That was June the 15th, a Thursday afternoon, which just so happens to be the same exact day that we had our van accident and nearly died and took out a number of our youth group. Exact same day, almost the exact same time.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. So many people are telling me, come June 15th next year, you're just going to just stay in bed. I don't know.
Well, you know what? Sounds to me like the enemy is on the loose and wants to take out a town that might be, you know.
Right.
Scaring them a little bit.
Exactly right. Believe me, it's true. But yeah, but we do have some. Well, I was headed, my car packed, ready to back out of my garage and head for Miami, Oklahoma, way up in the northeast corner, to speak at a sports event, and was going to spend the night in Tulsa with my daughter, and then go on the next day and speak that Friday there in Miami, and. And I was back. I told my wife I was backing out of my garage, and she hollers and says, "Hey, you better wait. We're about to have a storm. You're going to get hail on." you don't need that on your car. Come on, are you not watching it? I said, I had no idea. So I pull back in the garage, and I go into my and look out toward the west. I was backing out toward the east, so I went out and looked out our west windows and went, holy cow, look at that. It was horrible, just black and billowy, and I didn't know. So no sooner had I got in there than, boy, the heavens opened up, and I'm telling you, it started hailing and raining. Then the wind just picked up just in seconds after I got back in the house. And I go out on our back patio with my phone, and I'm going to video the wind. We have a swimming pool in our backyard, and it looked like the ocean. The wind had picked up and just incredibly, and so it looked like waves just from the ocean, just mm-hmm. going crazy. The trees are blowing, hail about probably quarter size was hitting everything, and I'm videoing it, just making comments, you know. And then I do hear this massive roar. I wasn't even thinking tornado, but Kathy had hollered out my wife and said, "Hey, we're under a tornado warning." I said, "That means they had to see something." She said, "Well, they've obviously seen something," but I said, "I don't hear any sirens, nothing's going off." She said, "Well, I'm just telling you what they're saying, and my phone is saying it." I went, "Wow." So anyway, pretty soon, right after it started, the electricity went off. Just bam. It was gone. Everything had shut down, and phone service had stopped. And as I'm hearing this loud roar that I think it's just heavy wind going through the trees, but of course, come to find out, it was the biggie. So anyway, so pretty soon it's over. We lost electricity, not thinking much about it, just a storm, and things were kind of settling down. And I went in and said, "Hey, okay, I'm out. I'm going to wait about 10 more minutes or 15 minutes and let the storm move on east so I don't run into it and just go on my way." So I did that, and I backed out, headed toward Main Street, back toward the east, and I heard the guy on KXDJ Radio, Chris Samples, who goes to our church. He says, hey, people, anybody, any able-bodied person that can help, please head for downtown. Our downtown has been devastated by a tornado. Numerous people are hurt. Not the first building hit, but one of the first buildings hit downtown was our city hall, where we have our ambulances and our fire department.
Oh,
and
goodness.
Demolished that building right and nearly completely destroyed our ambulance service and fire trucks. So we've got no emergency service to help with the injured. Booker has been contacted, their ambulance services, Spearman, Follett, Derzette, just places around that have ambulance service, and they are headed this way, but we need help. And so I took off, like he said, get downtown. So I just headed north thinking, well, this is just a dream. This is a joke. What in the world?
Mm-hmm.
So I took off downtown, headed north, and just drove into just a war zone. It was ridiculous. I literally was in shock. And then I could see people climbing out of stores, store front, store windows. There was a car that had gone through the front doorways of our movie theater and all. And these,
wow.
There's debris everywhere. People are walking around in shock, their eyes wide, just totally freaking out. I see a couple of guys from our church that were already downtown. I said, "Guys, what are we doing? What do we need to do?" They said, "We don't know." And then a lady came up to me, ran up to my car. She said, "You may be needed at the hospital. They're going to be bringing people in there. We have no idea what's going to be coming, but this is bad. There are, as she said, hundreds of have to be of people that have been affected by this." So I did. I ran out to the hospital and knew right away that I wasn't going to be much good out there. I was going to just try to pray with people or do whatever, but it was so hectic and all that I did see them bringing several people in. They were throwing people in the back of pickups and throwing them in cars and just running them to the hospital. And I saw several go in that were just severely injured and just head injuries and bodies just torn up. And it was terrible. But I knew that I was really going to kind of more be in the way. So I headed home. Headed back toward home, and I ran by and got my wife, and I said, "Kathy, we need to get to the downtown." She said, "What happened? What's going on?" I said, "Hey, downtown has been blown away by a tornado, and there are people that are maybe going to need us down there. We got to go see what we can do. So she got in the car with me, and so we were driving down there and took a kind of a wide path to get there, and we saw like a 12-year-old boy, Hispanic boy, and he was just walking down the ditch, just staggering around in shock, his eyes wide, and we pull over and said, "Young man, are you okay?" He said, "No." I said, "Well, what's going on?" He said, "Well, I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go." I said, "Well, come get in our car with us. Let's take care of you. Come on, get in here." And I said, "What's your story? What happened?" He said, "Hey, I was sitting in my house on the east side of town, behind to the east of the main street of the business district." And he said, "My parents are at work, and I was playing video games in the living room, sitting in a chair." And he said, "All of a sudden, the roof disappears off of our house, and then the walls collapse, and everything blows by me." And he said, "I was still sitting in that chair." Of course, electricity had gone off and all, but I was just sitting in that chair with no house, no walls or ceiling above me. My house was just gone.
Oh my goodness!
And I didn't know what to do, so I just took off walking. I don't know where to go. I don't know what to do. So we took him to some. He said he had some relatives over by the high school, so we took him over there. But that's just one story of many, many, many that are just absolutely miraculous, incredible stories of protection. And, of course, we had several people in our church that were working in those downtown businesses that just say, how we're alive, we cannot tell you other than the divine providence of God, His divine protection, because everything around us was destroyed. Everything around us collapsed. There's roofs blown off our stores. One lady in particular, she's a masseuse that goes to our church. She was working in a place where there was a beauty salon. There's five or six booths that the ladies had there in the front of the building, but they had built her a special room in the back part of the building where she had a private massage area. She was working on a client when she heard everybody screaming in the front, and she looked out. She just stopped and looked out her door of her little private area, and the ladies were running to the back of the building. And she said, "I began to hear glass breaking, and the wind just shooting through there, and debris flying everywhere." And we all got back toward the back of the building, and she said the only thing left of that entire building was the little room where she does her massage therapy. The only room left standing. So they all kind of got in there and hunkered down, and everything around them just blew away. And so she said, "Man, how it didn't blow that room away, it's just God. I don't know." Of course, when we got them in there, we began to pray and believe God for protection. And another girl working in the radio shack that was in our church that was totally demolished, they were running toward the front when they saw everything happening outside the huge plate glass windows in the front. So we were headed to the front to kind of probably run out the doors and try to get away when all the glass in the front of the building began to explode. We ran to the back of the building and just hunkered down under desks and things. And believe me, that building was gone. I mean, that building was totally destroyed. And a huge building, and just everything 100% collapsed around them. The roofs collapsed, the walls had collapsed, and said, there we sat in the middle of the rubble, just basically untouched. Just said, here we are. It's just miraculous that we're we're still here. So yeah, oh boy, just and anyway, that Sunday morning, I said, if you were supernaturally protected from this tornado, I want your story right now. Get up here. Here's the microphone. You get up here and brag on the Lord and the angels of God and what they did in your behalf. And oh my goodness, that people were just lined up and heard some incredible stories of protection. And one Hispanic lady and her family, there were three or four women in a trailer house, and said, this was probably my greatest story, that said, we were in our trailer house, and we saw what was happening, and we could look out our window and see other homes being blown away. Well, we were going to try to make it to the car and get away so it didn't blow our trailer away. So we didn't make it. And as we got to the front door, she said, a man appeared on the porch. There were three ladies here in the trailer. But as we got to the porch, a man appears, reaches his arms out, and wraps us all three up and guides us back through the trailer into a closet area, a little bitty closet area. And then we're looking up to see who this was and who had helped us. And he wasn't there. And said, so that is our angelic story that we have, because there was no, even in that, where we're at in our trailer park area, there was no men really even around that area. And this guy just like totally disappears right before our eyes. And they were weeping and two of the ones telling us a story, they didn't know the Lord. And when they were telling us the story, we were able through a Spanish interpreter that from the massage lady, as a matter of fact, she led them to Jesus while they're telling their story about the supernatural man that came and rescued them. And so again, everything that was meant for evil and destruction, we begin to see God immediately turn it to the glory of God and start seeing some powerful moves of God that delivered people from their destruction. And
that's
just
right.
It's just some powerful things that came out of it. And pertaining to the two of the ladies we had three that died. One was a 11-year-old boy, but we had two ladies that were very good friends of ours that did not make it. And they died in their businesses. And I went to the Lord with that, and I was saying, oh Lord, this is just that anybody had to go was horrible. And I began to go through the thing, Lord, and almost got into the why thing and the whole thing. And all that rose up in my spirit was, well, you knew them both. I said, yes. He said, neither one of them went to hell. And I said, well, Lord, thank you for the comfort of heaven. And some, I thought of John 14. Where Jesus is leaving and going back to heaven, and the disciples are complaining, don't leave us. Don't go. Man, what will we do? We need you here. And he said, well, I'm going away, but the Comforter will come, and I have to go to prepare a place for you that where I go, you can be there too. And he began to comfort them with heaven. And I thought, how many times in my ministry or other Christians' ministries and what we believe comes in, into full focus, we realize that sometimes the only comfort we have is heaven. But boy, what a huge comfort it is, I can tell you.
That's right.
Just the message of, hey, we'll see them again. They didn't make it, but man, what great women, both of these great women of God. I mean, great wonder. Didn't either one go to our church, but we knew them through, one of them was going to be the next spiritual lay director on the women's walk to Emmaus, and had worked with that ministry numerous years. And matter of fact, our praise and worship leader, her daughter, that was her mother-in-law. So we were pretty well connected in that area. And what a devastating thing. She owned Perryton Printing Company here in town and was president of the Lions Club, community leader. Everybody knew her, great worker in her church, served greatly. And what do you say? She's in heaven today. So, that's where you go with that. I said, well, what about that? Well, so that was a great tragedy. No, tragedy would have been had she not known the Lord, but they did. So that's just a transfer of addresses. They left here and are in the presence of God, and we'll see them again, and then that's our faith. And so we have used that many times, that people come in questioning and wondering, and why them and why this or why that, and say, hey, you know what? They're in heaven. We'll rejoice in that and not be worried about the whys or the where to fors and all of that. We'll just thank God that, we have a great Savior and He's prepared a place for us, and we'll rejoice in heaven, and we'll see Him again. That's our faith.
That's right. Yeah. And to hear the stories of God coming in and protecting these people, for one, God is real. He is real. God is a real God.
Man, so real.
And I can see why maybe some people would ask those questions. I'm not, you know, I can see why it would be hard. You know, you can understand that. And I can't even imagine, you know, going through something like that. And really, as you're telling these stories and painting this picture of what it looked like for you,
right.
it's like a movie. It's like you only see stuff like this in the movies. You don't see this in real life.
That's exactly right. It just, yeah, even now, it's just so weird how your mind just kind of shifts gears into another realm, another dimension, and you just now, after a month or so, you're just going, did that just happen? You can't even believe that you've been through
that. It's just a bad dream, yeah.
It's exactly right. And that's exactly what it feels like. You just go, I can't believe that happened, you know, to our town and to the places it hit, and wow, and the people that were affected. And we had several ladies in our church that were downtown shopping at the time and ducked for cover in the businesses they were in. But they did lose, we had three or four lose their automobiles, completely demolished and completely totaled. We had, some of them went up in the air and spun around, got just beat to pieces by that powerful, man, those things are so powerful. It was an F3, which says about 170 to 180 mile an hour winds that did the damage on the community. But wow, just a powerful thing. But you know, they can, like they say, you know, our stuff can be replaced. We can't. So thank
That's
God
right.
that we were protected and we were spared. And you know, and it's pretty cool for them to say, thank God for what we've been taught. Thank God for what we've learned from the Word. Thank God for, you know, that when other people were panicking and shutting down, that we were able to calm people down and say, stop, we got to pray. Let's take authority. Let's believe God for protection. Let's believe, stop, everybody, we're praying right now. And they stopped and they prayed. And several different stories we've had of that where people were, you know, were just able to just when their mind kind of went tilt, then what's in your spirit's going to start rising up. And when the Bible says men in the last days, men's hearts will fail them for fear of things coming upon the earth. Well, that to me means your mental realm, when you see the things happening on the earth, your mental realm shuts down, but what's in your spirit begins to rise up and take over and dominate you. And that's what, boy, there were so many testimonies of that from our own church people that said, let me tell you something, boy, when you just, you know, when things are shutting down and other people are cursing and screaming for their lives and panic and going crazy, said the peace of God came over us and what was in our spirit rose up and we decreed the peace of God and in the midst of all that turmoil, perfect calm, the peace that passes understanding, we know what that means.
Mm-hmm.
We get it. That it, man, and people were relying on us and turning to us, you know, pray for me, pray with us. Will you pray for me? Let's pray together or whatever. And you know, God used so many people in that capacity. And it's really a beautiful testimony to the fact that this thing, this spiritual realm, is real. It is totally legit. And God,
yes.
God used so many people to minister to people, to pray with hurting people. You know, stories begin to come in. People say, yeah, I was able to pray with this one and pray with that one. And we have several stories of people giving their life to the Lord after that, because people would say, well, what would have happened to you had you died when your home was blown away? We've had them say, I would have gone straight to hell.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's don't let that happen again. Don't you want to be prepared should anything like this ever? You know what I do. Several people have prayed and come to the Lord through this thing, you know, as a result of it. You know,
and to see the hand of God.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, think about it.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Yeah, I mean, they looked death right in the face and cheated it and were spared by God to you know, give another chance to get right with God. And boy, I'm glad, you know, I'm so glad that believers were there, people were there that knew God and knew the Word and knew how to pray. And that's pretty powerful when you don't think you need it. It's just simple knowledge until mm-hmm. Panic situations arise, and man, you rely on the presence of God that lives on the inside of you to rise up and live big, and He did. Powerful thing.
That's right. It makes me think of that saying that you cannot build the dam in the middle of the flood.
Bingo. That's good, isn't it? Yeah. Mm-hmm. The wise man that built his house upon the rock. One built his house upon the rock, the other on the sand. It's like the guy trying to build the house once the storm hit. It was too late. Everything, and the house on the sand went splat.
Right.
I know that song. But the other guy, he his house was built before the storm came, and he built it on the rock, on the Word, and stood. So it's something else, But let me just say something about after the fact, and a day or two after, when we started getting, of course, we lost phone service for like 8 days. AT&T was gone. The towers had been destroyed. And, I got children, two in Austin and one in Tulsa. They're watching Perryton blow away in real time.
Right.
And they're calling each other saying, "Hey, are you guys hearing this? Are you seeing this? Anybody contacting you guys? Perryton's being blown away by a tornado. What's mom and dad? Have you heard from anybody?" And they are just pretty excited about what's going
and
on.
Anxious, I'm sure.
Oh,
yeah.
My lands can't do anything about it. And so it was, well, I say that, we could actually, for some reason, text, but you couldn't make phone calls. And we were able, after several hours, to be able to text out and say, hey, we're okay. It did destroy downtown and some homes, but where we're at is safe. The south end of town is fine. And we're untouched as far as physically, everything is good. So that was good. But, man, of course, I started getting text messages and messages from all over the country of people that we know, but no phone calls. And so about a couple of days later, I'm driving to, they said, if you drive 15 miles east to Booker, you can get service. And I was in my car driving around and saw that I needed gas. Well, there was no gas available because the power was still all shut down. So I drove to Booker, and as I got into a service area, my phone sounded like a slot machine in Vegas. Just ding, 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 ding. I started laughing. All these contacts and calls that had been made or text messages that were sent, everything just lit up. It was hilarious. I'm going, my goodness, boy, we do know people. I had no idea we knew this many people. It just started, "Are you okay? You okay? What's going on with you? How's your church? How's your people?" Just messages all over. It was pretty neat. And no way I could have, even now, could even respond to a portion of those that were sent to us by phone or by text or by calls. So if you're listening,
sure, it was
tonight,
overwhelming.
Oh man! So if anybody listening tonight, we're okay. If you haven't heard yet, so yeah, all is good. If you tried to call, just want you to know, sorry I didn't return your call. All is good. I don't have that kind of time to do all the returns, but.
Now that the storm has come through, now it's time for the community to try to recover, figure out what we need to do. The church, I'm sure, has had to, to help these people, maybe give them places to stay. I mean, the storm's over, but now there's recovery. Now
you know what? I am, you talk about overwhelmed by people and love and kindness and compassion. I mean, within hours, that happened like at, say, 5 o'clock, by 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock that night, shelters were already set up in the high school gymnasiums, there were cots brought in, food was being brought in already, clothing, I can't tell you all the blankets, just all the supplies that you can imagine. We ran up to the high school to see if we could just be my wife and I, see if we could help up there. And truckloads of stuff were already coming in from everywhere. I mean, from out of town. Food supplies, mm-hmm. Water, of course, was huge. And water came in, and they just started bringing just hundreds and hundreds of cases of water that were being stored in these places. And then the we have an expo center, an exposition building, and it was being set up as for first responders, for ambulances, and then you could just see emergency vehicles everywhere, fire trucks, ambulances, and you know, like 100 people were severely injured in this thing. We lost 3, but there were hundreds that were just really hurt bad. Matter of fact, you know, I mean, Amarillo hospitals were completely inundated. They couldn't even go there anymore. They had to, anybody that was severely damaged, it had to be air flighted, had to go to Wichita, Kansas, Colorado, all
wow.
over. Yeah, and there are mm-hmm. several that are still in the hospital after over a month that are still in. They say everybody should be out of harm's way as far as death, but I know there's a paralyzed person or two, and there's with some other friends that their bodies were just, they broke nearly every bone in their body, and just horrible stories of like 8 or 9 surgeries that they've gone through and still in the hospital and stuff like that. So we still need prayer and as far as their recoveries and such, but just the people that came in, it was just amazing. And I had gone to Booker, like I said, for that gas. And while I was there, I was contacted by Samaritan's Purse, the Franklin Graham Ministry. Most people are affiliate them with the shoebox ministry, Operation Christmas Child, with the shoeboxes that they bring in that go all over the world. We have been an area collection center for over 25 years for the shoebox ministry. People come from miles and miles and miles away to bring the shoeboxes here, and then we get them to Amarillo to be sent off to their to bigger collection places. But a guy contacted me. He said, "Hey, man, you're a contact guy for Perryton. What do you need from us? We have people headed your way. We have the disaster relief ministry. Is you got a guy coming there from Dallas. He's going to meet with you and see what you need. And then we're going to start bringing in our equipment and volunteers and equipment like you won't even believe is about to hit your town. Hopefully we can use your facilities, your church," he came that next afternoon, the main guy, and said, "Look, we've got word out. Volunteers are coming in from all over the United States." We had over 60 volunteers that came from different states, one even from Alaska that
wow.
came in. Yeah, several from California, from West Virginia, North Carolina, everywhere, that drove in here and used our facilities, stayed on cots, using our building, using our kitchens and gymnasium area, and even in our sanctuary. They had just taken the chairs and kind of moved them out or stacked them up, and they had little campsite set up for over 60 volunteers that had come in. Man, you talk about great people. Man, what an incredible ministry. And they bring in chaplains either for counseling or for prayer or whatever, and the counselors would go and take some people with them, some people that would find areas that needed to help the most, and just say, "Look," they'd just go to a house and say, "Look, here's what we do. We'll clean up your property for you and pray with you." And so with that group, and of course, anybody that wanted to volunteer with them was able to do so and as part of their ministry. And so the chaplains would go in and pray with these people. Well, there was 41 work orders that the people with Samaritan's Purse worked with other volunteers from our church and other places. And in those 41 work orders, there were 41 people that accepted the Lord and gave their hearts to Jesus there through the ministry of Samaritan's Purse and the guys that would go in and minister to those people. So
mm-hmm. Praise God.
Yeah, big time. And the follow-up ministry of that is tremendous. And of course, most of them, I admit, were Hispanic people, and many of them didn't speak English, and so they had Spanish interpreters with them. It's the people from our church that Hispanic people that knew Spanish would go in and help. And so that the ministry part of that was just outstanding. Man, what a tremendous organization! And boy, and they left here. You know, Tulsa got hit the same week at Sand Springs area and all. But many of them left here and went to Tulsa. And a lot of these guys just follow these disasters. Like full time, it's something, and I thought about people that have trouble with the word prosperity and money in the kingdom of God. You know, so we don't. You know, I mean, prosperity has taken a black eye in some circles, and you just mentioned the word, and people have a negative response to it, these prosperity preachers and this prosperity gospel and all of that. But you know what? During all of this, you know, guess who rose up and brought in the most equipment? Christian ministries. And I thought, you know what? If you have a problem with, quote-unquote, the word prosperity, you should have been on our parking lot. There were four units that Samaritan's Purse brought in that cost over $1 million apiece. $1.4 million. Their own shower trailers, their own cook trailer, you know, equipment trailers. They brought in bulldozers. They brought in, you know, skid steers and things of that nature. And I just thought, boy, if anybody has a problem with God wanting his people blessed financially, I wish you'd have been here. You couldn't have done it without wealth in the kingdom. Couldn't have happened.
That's right.
It's a little side note right here, but it was kind of a pet peeve to me that people, you know, people would have trouble with that. And I just thought, my God, people, if you just, so I preached one day, and there were a lot of different denominations represented with the Samaritan's Purse. And I gave a devotional one day, and I said, you know what? I don't know what your attitude is today, guys, with the word prosperity, or what you've heard about it, or these prosperity preachers or churches or whatever. But you know what? All you have to do with the word prosperity is add this phrase, for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of ministry, for the sake of the harvest, wealth.
That's right.
For the sake of the harvest, wealth for the sake of the, you know, the kingdom. That's all you got to do is add that. And they'll go, oh, well, yeah, I see that. You know, that's what he said to Abraham in Genesis 12. He said, Abraham, I'm going to bless you. And we know he was one of the richest men in the world. I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to make your name great. And then he added this, and you will be a blessing. And I said, that's all you have to add. You know, a guy came to me one time, and he said, I know this is probably wrong, but I feel like the Lord wants to with my business knowledge, to make me a millionaire. And I go, okay. He said, but I feel so guilty even with that thought in my mind. I said, why? Mm-hmm. Are you not a giver? He said, well, that's why I know God wants to bless me, because he knows I'll be a blessing. But I feel so, people have put a guilt trip on me for even having that attitude of wanting to be financially prosperous. I said, see, man, that's a devil. That's the enemy.
That's right.
I said, I'm going to tell you something. He wants you blessed in more ways than you can even express, above what you can ask or think, because he wants you to be a blessing. He knows he can trust you. And he said, well, okay. I'll go in with that attitude. And, man, God bless this guy. Dear Lord, he has helped so many ministries with hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars all over the world. Because he said, I know the hand of God is upon me, and I know with my heart and my attitude that he will use me to bless people financially and the body of Christ and needs everywhere, that it takes money to do what we do, to preach the gospel, to build the buildings, to feed the hungry, to clothe the naked. It takes money to do it. And he said, I'm saying, God, you know, here am I. I can't do this poor. And God blessed. He has so many businesses, my goodness, going right now that God is blessing him in. And just everything he touches is like turns to gold. But I tell you, the minute it does, boy, he just blesses and gives. And it's a tremendous blessing with what he has. And that's the message of why God wants you blessed, so that you can be a blessing.
Exactly. And it makes me think of the saying that says, one of the things we hear a lot here is, God will get the money to you if he can get it through you.
Through you. Boy, isn't that a great word? That's absolutely the truth. That's absolutely, if you have no intention, you know, if you just, and maybe people have done that, just got blessed and heaped it to themselves and just collected a bunch of junk and, you know, built better and drive better and have all the toys and the things. But you know what? And that's okay, too, if your priority is the gospel. You know,
he didn't
put all the nice things in this world for the devil and his bunch. We get to enjoy incredible things. But we also know that God has our heart. We're meeting the need of humanity is. And so that's the focus of what we're talking about when we're talking about God blessing somebody financially. Hey, we start getting, you know, I don't even know how people got our name and address and the name of our church, but the addresses of our church and the websites and all. But we start having money come in from all over the United States, and it just say tornado relief on it, just designated Perryton tornado relief, and it'd be sent through our church. And I'm just like, wow, start coming into our post office box, and I'm like, wow, this is just, I mean, people have a heart for ministry, but it shows up. The compassion of Jesus rises up in us when we get in difficult situations, and I love the body of Christ and the church today more than I ever have in my lifetime, because I saw their response, and I saw them, you know, I saw the church responding, first responders. We always talk about that.
Yes.
First responders, man, that's in giving, that's in love, that's in prayer, that's in running to a matter instead of away from it. That's a first responder. And that's what we saw in the body of Christ. And, man, our love for the church and for the body of Christ is on a level right now that just cannot be overstated. It's incredible what God's been doing through this entire thing. It's been a beautiful thing to watch. The ministries, all kinds of ministries and churches and Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian, all kinds, had relief disaster teams that I had no idea even existed, and that do this on a regular basis. One in particular was the feeding, you know, people coming in to feed the workers and the volunteers and all, different restaurants and all, bringing in their massive food trucks. And one was Mercy Chefs. That's what it was called. And I thought, Mercy Chefs, that's interesting. It had huge cook trailers and would come out where we're working at different locations. They would come out in the back of pickup trucks with these food boxes and just pass them out to the workers and say, here, guys, bless you guys. We want to come feed you and take care of you. You need anything else? Here's where we're located. And I just one day said, well, who are you people? What is a Mercy Chef? And said, we're with Joyce Meyer Ministries. And I said, what? Who knew she? I've never heard of this. It's never been advertised. It's never been talked about on her TV programs, to my knowledge. But a massive ministry, and I'm friends with Joyce Meyer's daughter. She came here and preached for us and did a ladies' meeting one time and preached in our church. And I called her and I said, hey, does your mom have a food ministry called Mercy Chef? And she said, you know what she said? Let me check. And she called back and said, oh, my word, she does. She said, this is crazy, but I had forgotten she even had that ministry. They were here for over a week, every day, three meals a day. And when they said Mercy Chefs, wow, it was some of the best food I've ever eaten in my entire lifetime. It wasn't just a weenie and a bun and all, and they just throw it there at you. It was incredible food with excellence in ministry. And I thought, well, praise God. You know, people that gripe about these TV guys, there's some stuff they do behind the scenes you never even hear about. And
that's what I'm sitting here thinking. I'm thinking all these people that come against these prosperity preachers,
right,
that, you know, but they have no clue what they're doing with their money.
Oh, my goodness. No, they don't. And it's not always advertised, and it's always not always brought out there to the forefront. But, boy, when you see things like that happening, you go, wow. Man, God,
yes.
No wonder you're blessing these people. You know, good lands. You know, Operation Blessing through CBN, Christian Broadcasting Network and all, they called me and said, what can we do? Where can we get involved? How can we plug in with you guys? And, you know, they bringing people in and stuff. So there are ministry people all over that we don't know about that we need to support, that we don't know everything about them. But boy, they're doing a tremendous job for the kingdom. And this, you know, this Samaritan Purse thing is all over the world. I mean, they go into earthquake areas and they're worldwide. It takes multiplied millions of dollars to pull something like that off. And it's just, it's staggering, the need for all this ministry. And so I'm just, God, I just thank you so much for blessing people financially. Members of the body of Christ, I thank you that they will give and bless with what they have. And we're a direct result on the receiving end of a lot of that through this entire situation. And it's just a wonderful, wonderful blessing.
And, you know, I think about the magnitude of the giving, and I can't help but think there's probably some listeners that are thinking, well, I'm never going to be able to have such a magnitude. I'm not saying you can't, but I am going to say there are also other ways to bless people. There's people that's praying for $50. There's people that are praying for $100. And the Lord needs you to help him answer that prayer and whenever, and so he's going to get that money to you so that when he wants to bless somebody or somebody's asking him, he can use you in that way. It doesn't have to be in such a magnitude way. Although those things are great and we need those things, but even down to the littlest of people.
You know what? That's absolutely right. I was speaking this past weekend at a camp meeting up in the Joplin, Missouri area, just across the line in Kansas. But just there, I'd gone out with a couple guys to eat, and one of them just is a preacher friend of mine, just impressed with the Lord to give our server $100 tip. Let me tell you something. It was, it's explosive. She just began to weep and say, I can't believe this is happening. I had to have so much by day after, you know, by day after tomorrow. There was no way it could happen. You just did it. You know, I mean, you maybe not can give $1 million, but let me tell you something. You can give 5 or 10 or 20 and bless
That's
somebody
right.
that may be the very thing they're needing for another meal. I mean, we got to start thinking that way. Just ministry, opportunity, money with a mission. That's what I call it with our church people. You know, you give your money an assignment. God said you are working with
That's
your
good.
Hands so that, here's the purpose, you have a job. So, well, it's yeah, so I can make my new car payment, or it's so I can make my new boat payment, or my four-wheeler, or whatever. He said, you're working with your hands so that you may have to give to he that needs it. That's number one priority, the reason you even have a job. You have that job so that you can receive a check, you can receive money, so that you can in turn give with a portion of that which God's given you. That's why you have a job. You're not working, I like it, you're not working for a living, you're working for a giving.
I was just thinking that same thing.
I beat you to it. I knew it was about
you
to come
beat
out.
Me. Yes, that's what James says. He says, I'm not working for a living, I'm
that's
working
right.
for a giving.
That's the truth. And when you have that mentality and that attitude, God will go to move heaven and earth to put resources into your hands.
And that is it right there. Bam.
Right? Absolutely. He'll bring a business idea to you. He'll bring something supernatural into your path that will explode resources in your life so that you can be a blessing with it.
That's right. And the key thing here is it's not about you and that money, but it's about God and that money.
That's right.
And that's the difference. I think so many people think that prosperity message is about me, me, me. I can have more money.
Right.
And that's not what it is. It's for God. It's for,
that's
it. it's not about me, but it's about God.
Not true prosperity, not biblical prosperity. It's not for greed. It's for God. You know, it's for ministry. And we think that way. We act that way. That's our attitude. I promise you, blessings coming.
That's right. That is so good.
Yep.
I'm telling you, what a message to come out of a tornado.
Right.
You know, that really wasn't, you know, which I think it's awesome, but that really, you know, I don't necessarily think of it that way. But what a way to bring perspective in that particular area of finances. And I'm just so excited to hear that God is moving in Perryton. And I knew he was. I didn't even have to ask you. I knew he was, and I knew you were going to have major ways that God had moved. And like I said, I haven't talked to you prior to this as far
as any
of this, and
yep.
God is real. He is love.
He is that, and I tell you, you know, boy, I mean, what the enemy meant for our total devastation and destruction, we're all believing is the greatest outpouring of the Spirit of God on this city that's ever been. And everybody's just decreeing revival, 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 revival. And that's going to come out of this thing. People are going to come to Christ. People are going to see, you know, see there is a God and that he does love them. And he, you know, he is the answer to all of our life situations. And it's all just coming back to who Jesus is and what he's done for us. We're gonna, you know, hey, devil, you made a big mistake. We're all just laughing about it all. I said, hey, here's one thing I know this. Devil, you made a big mistake. You picked on the wrong city.
That's right.
I said, yeah.
That's right.
We're going to turn this thing around on you. You know, you know, when John the Baptist died and was beheaded, they came and it was Jesus' cousin. They came and told Jesus, people say, why didn't he stop that? Jesus could have stopped that. Why didn't he stop that? A great tragedy happened. Why didn't he stop it? And we have no answer for that. But we do know this: when they told him what had happened, he knew the source of that, the destroyer. And the Bible says he left that place, went into all the cities and villages around about him, and healed all the sick therein. He said, well, really, you took one of ours out? Watch what's about to, you know, just stand back and watch this. Yeah, so, I mean, where the enemy came in, you know, like a flood, the Spirit of God raised up a standard against it, and God began to move and said, you know, he just said, I'm just have a healing revival that just sweep this region as an affront to what you did to John the Baptist. You took him out. Watch this. And we just have to live that way. You know, you took out some of our friends. We'll see hundreds to come to Jesus in retaliation of what you thought you did to our city to bring us down. Resurrection life is here, and what goes down is coming up. The power of resurrection is all over this city, in Jesus' name.
That's right. And we do have some history that's been taken out and some buildings that's been destroyed, but I believe that God can rebuild Perryton even bigger and better than it was before.
Absolutely. Yeah. Somebody said, I really now know what build back better means. We're building back better, and God is the source of it all, and God is helping us, and he's getting the glory for it big time.
That's right. And what a community of people. Well, especially in our area, the Texas Panhandle, you know, we know that we're a people that come together. But to have the whole country come in and back up Perryton, Texas, come in and minister.
Right.
What a blessing. We do live in a good place. We do live in a good country.
Yep. Absolutely, man. For all of our faults, I can tell you, man, we are incredible people. I mean, God has blessed us with some incredible people doing a great work in our country, in our nation. You know, behind the scenes, it's never broadcast. It's not on any news network. But things are happening that people don't see. That there's a move of God on right now.
And here's the thing. God wants us to do those things not wanting recognition. He doesn't want us to be out bragging about it. Your reward is his reward for what he's going to give you, and we don't want to
the
reward
absolutely
again.
Man, yeah. I'm telling you what, you know, but God, that's our whole
that's
story
right.
The two greatest words in the Bible, but God. Now we've seen him manifest himself all over this thing, and it's beautiful. Just sit back and watch it happen and be involved in watch it happen.
That's right. Well, I mean, I have so enjoyed hearing about everything. We are unfortunately out of time.
Wow. We did it again.
I know. We did it again. And you know, I have so many other things that we need to talk to you about. I mean, you went to Africa.
I did.
And you just got back. You're just a busy little
I'm a
ministering
busy little man running around here.
That's
all. Loving it.
And, well, good. You're right where God's called you to.
Right.
And when you're right where God placed you, then life is good.
Yeah, it's just glorious. Loving every bit of it.
That's right. So we just want to thank you, everybody, for tuning in. And Pastor Marlon, I just really appreciate you sharing about what you guys have gone through in Perryton, and I'm sure that people are going to spread the word of how good God is, just because.
Absolutely.
And it'll be about what God is good and not what
Amen.
The bad.
Yep.
That's right. So we just want to remind you, listeners, that God is good, and He loves you, and He wants to take care of you. And we just pray that you go to bed on that note and that you have a blessed week this week. And we will be back for another Sunday Night Live next week. Good night, everybody.